24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Completely savage! Completely savage!
Welcome everyone to Damage Radio, heard here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet. You know me, I'm RC, along Matt, the ultimate KISS fan porter, Arthur, the bullet Littman, Josh, so says, Sheeran Office in the building.
Yeah.
We got our big guest today, we got Mike Seneca, former wrestler, pro wrestler, NASCAR driver.
Thank you.
Guys, Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, thank you guys, appreciate it. Thank you.
How's everything going? Josh, since we last saw you, man.
Oh, things are good. Things are super busy. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But things have been really, really busy, but really, really good.
And off to a great start for 2019. That's what we'll talk about, right?
Yeah. How about you guys?
Ah, man. We're doing great, man. Another day of being alive. And I got my, just, you know, living a life, man. My son turned 4 yesterday, so we had a great birthday party.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes, that's cool, awesome. Man. Then it just flies by time, man. Like,
seriously.
Feels like we just born yesterday. I need one of those, yeah. We all do. But, you know, grab your coffee, and thanks for tuning in, guys. Damage Radio, we got a great show lined up for you today, and we'll get right into it, talking about professional wrestling. So, Mike, what inspired you to pursue professional wrestling?
You know, I was always a fan of the business. When I was younger, I'd watch guys like Bob Backlund, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I got a quick little story on that later. But, as a young kid, probably like many other millions of kids in America, in this country, actually around the world, just became a fan. We go down to the events at the Spectrum. You know, if you remember that, the Spectrum in Philadelphia with my father.
And,
yeah, it was great stuff. And then just got the opportunity and after 9/11, actually. So
really?
I'm a pilot by trade. I'm a commercial pilot. And I had gotten a position with a regional company, regional airline. And after 9/11, they stopped hiring because of, I guess, the slowdown. So I was training at the gym one day, and my friend at the time he was actually with ECW. His name was Sweet Taboo. I don't know if you guys remember him. But we were working out, and he said, what are you going to do now? He goes, you know, you're not going to be flying. And I said, I was flying cargo out of Northeast Philadelphia for a small company. And he said, you know, you're a pretty big guy. He goes, you're pretty athletic. He's like, you should become a professional wrestler. And I kind of laughed. I'm like, you know, I said, I watched on TV. I said, but I could never see myself doing it. So after that, he convinced me to go down to the Monster Factory in South Jersey. And Larry Sharp, who was there, he was the president at the time. He operated everything down there. He gave me a tryout, and that was it. It started that, and it was just amazing, and just kind of went on from there. And actually, Larry had gotten sick, too. He'd gotten cancer during my training. So he sent a bunch of us up to the Wild Samoan Training Center in Allentown to finish our training, because that was like 2 years. It took me 2 years to complete the training from your first bump to your match. So they put you in like a developmental capacity where you go out and you work independent shows along the way. So what had happened was, the first time I was up in Allentown, I pulled in and kind of like this back alley in Allentown. I'm like, what's this? You know, I'm driving in and I hear people screaming. And I'm like, all right. So I walk up the stairs and I see, it's like about 5:30 in the afternoon. And I see just a big figure in the hallway standing there. I'm like, and he goes, are you Mike? I'm like, yeah, it's me. And he goes, I'm Afa the Wild Samoan. I said, nice to meet you. He says, call me Pops. I said, okay, Pops, how are you? So we went in there, we talked about financing, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, come on outside and meet the boys. I said, all right. So I went out there, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson was out there beeling guys. He was working with students because WWE SmackDown was there the night before in Philadelphia. So
What year was this?
Oh, God, 2002.
Wow.
Hey, guys, we got a phone call calling in. Thank you for calling Complete Damage Radio. And who is on the line?
This is Corey Bishop. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Corey, thanks for the call, man.
Hey, I have a question for Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Were you more into a tag team, or were you more of like a singles competitor?
Good question. I started out as a singles competitor. As a matter of fact, Afa one day, he took me outside the training center, and he said to me, there was a guy that I was working with. We started training together. His name was Jeff the Future Coleman. That was his stage name. So Afa put us together. I was singles wrestling at the time, and then I became Jeff's manager. So it was Mike Flight, and you know, I guess obviously directing the traffic. But with Jeff Coleman, he was the guy I was managing. But I worked singles, I guess, up to that point. Did a few tag matches with some guys in the past, some independent shows. We did that, but the first break we got was getting a dark match. That's how that spawned off from that. So
okay, yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe it took you 2 years to just train, let alone. Mm-hmm. I have another question for actually Josh. Last time I called in, your children's book, I think what's your book called again?
Oh, Maggie Moo Finds a Friend.
Maggie Moo Finds a Friend. What's the reaction been to your children's book since it came out?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. It was really good. We actually had it in some local bookstores and sold out of those around the holiday time. I think they're back in stock now. I don't think they don't just keep selling out, but that'd be nice. But no, it's had a really good reaction. People seem to really enjoy it. The kids that have gotten them seem to really like it and like the characters in it. So yeah, I've been really happy with it. Thank you for asking.
Well, I just ordered a copy on Amazon. So if you're ever back on the show, I'll let you know how
that's awesome. So you got the so it's Amazon, then you got the digital one.
Yes.
All right, cool. Very cool. So, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Well, thanks, guys. Nice talking with you all, and have a great day.
Yeah,
Happy New Year.
You too, man. Happy New Year.
Great,
so Mike, cool. That's awesome. Way to start the day. So Mike, you were saying you walk into the Monster Factor, man. When you walk in there, man, you got, like, you see those pictures on the wall.
Amazing.
Talk about your react just walking in. Are you like, this is a spot for me to start out? You know, pretty boy Larry Sharp, man, He's been all over. He trained so many people. Bam Bam Bigelow. This goes on and on.
The late Bam Bam Bigelow.
That's correct, Art. You got me, man.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just, you go in, it was just an unbelievable spectacle. You go in, always, like you said, always pictures on the wall. The legacy that preceded me in that place was just amazing and very humbling, actually, too. So just, afforded the opportunity to get, entertain people at that capacity, just amazing.
I actually wanted to ask you a question because I trained at the Wild Samoan Training Center as well. I left in, I want to say it's probably the end of 2001 or beginning of 2002.
That's so
assuming that's when we just, shipped in the night there.
Sure.
I was trying to think of where it was. You said you went upstairs, or did you go upstairs for it, or was it,
Well, basically, as far as you mean, like, we're getting a start, or?
Well, no, because, I'm talking about the actual physical place. He changed it. Like,
oh, okay.
Every gym was somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. No, what it was that, you kind of, like, walked up, like, a set of steps.
Yeah, and then was his office, like, to the right?
Yes, it was to the right.
Okay.
And he had the two rings in the back.
Yeah,
two rings in the back.
Yes, okay. All right, cool.
You remember it well.
Yeah. I still feel it, I think.
And you know what? It's funny. You take your first bump, and you go, what am I doing? It's just like, it's so painful on you, and you're like, oh, but you just keep, forging through. You keep going forward. So.
Yeah.
To talk about the name, when you had that, Mike Flight, did that just come off like
this? Well, we were at Woody's Pizzeria. After that, I met them, everybody, that night. We went to Woody's Pizzeria up in Allentown. Remember Woody's Pizzeria?
Mm-hmm.
We saw frequent there. So The Rock came with us that night, and we're sitting there, and we're talking.
I never got to hang out with The Rock.
Oh, yeah?
Already, your experience there was significantly cooler than my experience there.
Well, I think it's funny because we were having dinner. It was a long table, never forget it. And Dwayne Johnson was sitting, I guess, catacorner to me. And he's sitting and kept looking at me, and I'm like, what's this guy looking at? Because after the training session, we'd all go out to eat afterwards. So he goes, so what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a commercial pilot, I says, and just got this place. And he goes, okay. So we started talking a little bit further, and he's talking to the people around him. And, of course, people are, getting his attention, which is awesome. And then he goes to me, he goes, I got a good gimmick for you. He goes, Mike Flight, the cocky pilot. He goes, no one's ever done it. He goes, I'm going to talk to Vince about it. Let's talk to Pops. Let's talk to Alpha. Okay, great. So we went with that. That's how it started. So the name Mike Flight, his correlation. Yeah.
Now, you were on board right away with the name?
I loved it. I think it was great. I mean, it just, I kind of like playing the heel because it was so much easier. I think as a baby face, you have to kind of, always, look for that audience approval, if you will. But if you're a heel, it's like, it's so much easier to work off the crowd. And you'd find someone in that front row that you could work off. Because, people are very, verbal. And, being in the business, are very verbal. And they don't like you, Okay, well, then obviously, they find some sort of, they'll hold up a sign or something like that. I see yank people's signs out. It was just good, good fun. And I enjoyed it. It was awesome.
Did you get the hang of it pretty easily, like heckling the crowd and all that?
No. But what it was just, you have to, often what he teaches us about psychology, about the psychology of the business. So it just, you kind of like gradually, seep your way into it.
Awesome.
Thank you for calling Completely Damaged Radio. And who's on the line?
Hi, What's up, Bullet? It's Mistress Candy here.
Candy, thanks for the call. What's going on?
No. Mistress Candy.
Mistress Candy.
It's a twin sister. How's it going, you guys?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and happy belated birthday to your little man, Dylan, RC.
I appreciate it very much. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Listen, I got a question for Bullet. I'm going to backtrack for a second to your first Damage Radio episode. You're a huge Diamond Dallas Page fan, am I correct?
Yeah, he's my mentor. Just wanted to be honest with you. My favorite first episode moment, I would say me and my brother, Ben, the Bill One Lipman, made a Damage Radio debut. Which is last summer, and we were talking about last summer at SummerSlam. We kept talking about it, like, really?
I remember that episode. That was a great episode, and I love how passionate you were, you know, talking about your mentor. That was really cool.
Yeah, thanks, Candy. Since I've been thinking about is the all the things like athletic accomplishments as an athlete, I would say the only thing, like, it's a lot of work, like training. It's like becoming a great athletic system in the ring.
Yeah, and you're getting really good at it, man, on the mic.
So because of the competitors who did an athletic leagues and everything. It's like part of right here in the show. That's what we do all the time.
Absolutely. But, no, I wanted to know, if you had Vince McMahon's job and you had a chance to pair DDP up with any guy to form the perfect tag team, who would it be and why?
Vince McMahon and DDP. I'm really not sure about that, but I would say... Because Vince McMahon is the chairman and CEO of WWE, I would say since I heard The Miz and Shane McMahon, Vince McMahon's son, they teamed up together, and when I found out they are going to be having a match against The Bar at the Royal Rumble, because since it's going to be in the baseball park in Phoenix, which is coming in a couple weeks, and so it's the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's right. So, Art, if you had to have DDP tag with anybody, who would it be?
Ooh, I'm gonna say Mystery. That's gonna be my answer.
All right. How about you, Mark?
I would say, you know what, Brodus Clay. Why not? Right? Brodus Clay would be awesome. You're a big guy, right?
That would be good. How about you, Josh?
I put him with Ty Dillinger right now. I give the rub to Ty Dillinger. That whole positivity.
Really? Positivity. I got something in my mind about a year ago.
That's a good idea. A whole 10, you know? That's close enough. You know,
oh, yeah. Do the 10. Think of that. From the 10 into the diamond and all that stuff. Yeah. All
right. That's the merchandise right there.
I know. What, man. All right.
Awesome. Candy, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it, Mistress Candy.
You're very welcome, and I think my twin sister is going to call in again next week. So once I untire, that is.
Nice. Well, thanks for always supporting Damage, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Man, the lines are blowing up today. I love it. So
Monday.
I love it, man. Monday morning. So, Mike, what were some of your favorite memories inside the ring?
I'd say probably wrestling. I got to work a match with Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really cool. Awesome. I worked with Rikishi several times.
No stink face, though, right?
I did get a stink face.
Oh, yeah, no.
I took one for the team, unfortunately. I did. What else? I'm just thinking, I worked with Ivory one time. Ivory was awesome. WWE Hall of Famer. Worked with Goldust. Worked with, what else? I'm just trying to think of some list. The list goes on and on. But it's funny because you sit there and you think about it, and these people are larger than life, and you're next to them in a ring, and just amazing. You know, they're just nice people backstage. Justin Credible, worked with Justin Credible a while back. But, I mean, that's the whole thing. Roman Reigns, that's funny. You know, the story about Roman Reigns, when I was in the training center, you may remember this, Roman was a younger guy, and he'd come help set the ring up because his father, obviously being Sika, they'd come up from the south, and we would integrate, you know, from the north to south all the time. So but knew Roman when he was a young guy. I guess he was like 17 or 18 at the time. When
he was probably pretty young.
Yeah, pretty young. Wow. Yeah, so. But that was kind of cool too. So.
Awesome. So now talking with these guys, you know, these legends and larger than life, before we went out, were they really cool to talk to? Were they interested in listening to hear what you had to say?
Very much so. It's funny because Jimmy Superfly Snuka and I talked in great length backstage one night at a show. I was actually with ECW. It was many years ago. And we were up in Jersey. I'll never forget it. And Jimmy used to smoke. I never knew this. He smoked cigarettes. And when we were talking to him, you know, Jimmy had that raspy voice, brother. And he'd say, brother, this is going to be the easiest match of your life. Okay, Jimmy, sounds good. Because you're all nervous. It's a legend, you know? So he's sitting there, and I go, Jimmy, you want me to, like, do a bump here? You want me to do some chain? Or no, man, because you're working too hard, brother. He's like, we're just going to go bing, boom, boom. We're going to take it home. Okay, sounds good. So, yeah, it's funny because, and he still was so popular back then. It's amazing, you know? Like, just his spirit just lives on, I think, in all of us. You know, we're all super fun kids.
Now, did he do the splash on you?
He did the splash on me, yeah. I took another one for the team. But, I mean, you know, it's amazing because the history that goes behind him and, you know, what had happened and just his career just, you know, it just exploded when he came on scene. And I remember, I think he was a heel at first, wasn't he? I think he started as a heel. Because I remember watching him wrestle Bob Backlund many years ago at the Spectrum. And, yeah, I think he was a heel and Backlund was the face. But just working the guy, these idols, you know, it's amazing. It's like, wow. The Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, I worked with him. I worked with Kip James. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's amazing.
Did you plan your stuff out ahead of time, or did you, for the most part, call it in the ring, or did it depend on who you were working with?
We called a lot of spots in the ring because, again, I think that's the way Afa wanted us to do it. Mm-hmm. He said a lot of times it's hard to remember all the stuff backstage. You're going to forget stuff. You're in the ring. You're working together.
And then you're lost.
And then you're lost, yeah. Well, you see it on television a lot of time when you're watching WWE on Monday Night Raw. You can see when they miss a spot, mm-hmm. so they have to go back and do it again. It wasn't a good bump. It wasn't a good sell. So, but it's amazing because you look at these guys today, and just the NXT Training Center is, it's doing a good job. But it's like, you know, they're looking for that breakout superstar, mm-hmm. you know, to come through. And I think with the fact that, you know, when you work, and these guys stay in the ring, they're probably doing maybe 20 shows a month, I guess, I'm guessing. I mean, the schedule is just incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, you know, they get overlooked. The funny thing, too, is that, you know, back then, Afa would say less is more. And I said, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. And now I understand what he's talking about. Less is more in the ring.
Have you forgotten to mention about Tuesday night SmackDown Live? Because it used to be Friday night SmackDown and Thursday night SmackDown. And because since it's starting 20 years ago, that was a long time. 20th anniversary for WWE SmackDown.
That's right.
Man, that's a long time. That's a little depressing.
I know. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think about that.
Get my cane. Now, we asked Don Morocco the same question, although, you know, it was from a steel cage that Snuka jumped off of. What was your reaction seeing Snuka on the top of that rope, you know, about to splash on you? Because his reaction was, oh, you know what? But, you know, what was your reaction?
I just was, you know, you sit there and you hope, please don't hurt me. That's all, you know. You're laying down and like, all right, you know. And Jimmy was just, again, you know, it's funny. He got to the second rope, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to do it from there. And I'm like, wow, he's going to the top. I'm like, wow. You know, what the way he did it was, he did it inside the ring. He didn't go on the outside. He did the inside.
Oh, okay.
And he got it, and I was like, oh, boy. And I'm like, all right. So I'm kind of like, just kind of moving over a little bit closer to where he was at. But just amazing. You see him coming down on you. Afa Jr. gave me a splash one time. You know, remember Manu?
And
didn't hurt at all. I'm like, unbelievable. These guys are just, you know, professionals inside the ring.
So does the fan come out of you and not the professional when you're wrestling these guys? And you
Backstage it does, yeah. And, okay. You know, when you're performing, I mean, obviously you're doing your job. And, you know, it's great because I always liked talking on the stick. I thought, like, managing, I thought it was my forte because I was never a great worker. I'll say it right now. But I knew how to talk on the stick. And I think Afa recognized that. Hence, when we got the dark matches, you know, it was Coleman in flight. And that's how we did it. Because, you know, Afa saw something in us that, you know, it worked. And I think, and I say, I'll go on record saying this, I think we were the original Heyman Lesnar because that was our gimmick. And it was the monster, you know, managed by the sports agent or the advocate, if you will. And then we started that. It's amazing.
Yeah, now you talked a little bit about the dark matches. How did it all come about? What was your reaction to knowing that, you know, you're one step higher?
Just, I mean, I was in the training center one day and Pops called me into his office. I said, okay. So I go in there with Jeff, you know, and he goes, well, you guys have dark matches. It's like, okay, cool, right? Vince had liked the fact the name Mike Flight. He thought it was a really catchy name. He said, you know, we can do something with this. But so we went to our first match was in Pittsburgh. We drove out to Pittsburgh for Monday Night Raw. We did a match. And I worked Hardcore Holly at the time. Remember Hardcore Holly? Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
And it was just like,
it's funny how that worked out, because Spark Plug, he was.
Spark Holly, Thurman, Sparky
and, you know,
Plug.
We'll talk about racing later. You
okay,
know?
Sounds good. Yeah. So, and we talked about racing backstage, too. Nice. It was awesome. And then, as I said, that came to fruition. They said, what are you guys doing tomorrow night? We're like, oh, we're, you know, we're just nothing. Like, all right, we have a show in Cleveland. Like, all right, cool. So we went to Cleveland. But it's funny, you walk in and they give you an envelope. It's $200. Like, wow. You get paid before the match? Okay, this is really cool. So,
and the food is not running out.
Exactly, right? You know, but it's just, and then, like, you know, you're leaving the arena at night. And of course, people don't really know who you are because you did the dark match. But, you know, it's amazing. Just, you know, to be blessed to do that, you know, just to be proud to perform. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Now, what was your theme music? Did you have any theme music in WSW?
Yes, it was Turbulence by name. This was a local band, and Ken Hyland was his name. Tragic was the band name.
Okay.
And it's on, I think it's on the MP3. You can download it.
Okay.
Turbulence, is what it's called, yeah.
Now, what's the, like, for you, was there any rituals before you went out behind the curtain?
Yeah, I always kind of had a protein shake. I had a protein bar before I went out. Because, you know, when you go out there, you work up so many, and you can test this, you work up so many calories when you're in the ring, because, you know, you're constantly going. And then if you go too fast, you blow up. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, you know, I got to slow down. But, yeah, I just have a protein bar, you know, just kind of keep it light. The day of a match, I wouldn't eat a lot. Okay. So. Right.
There's no cardio in the world, I think, as good as running the ropes.
I totally concur.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, I was working up at the training center one time at Hazleton, the other training mm-hmm. center.
Yeah.
And Tommy Suede threw me to the buckle, and I hit so much I bounced out and landed on my knees. And Pop goes, "Yeah, that's what I want to see." I'm like, "All right, Pop, sounds good."
One time
I was like, "Wow!" But I mean, Tommy didn't know his own strength, you know. But it's crazy because Tommy got signed to developmental too. So
wow,
kind of neat.
Yeah. Nice. Now, Bullet, you got a question, right?
Mike, who's your dream opponent? And what your dream opponent is?
Well, I'll tell you. If he's listening right now, WWE had a guy by the name of Snitsky.
Nice.
Right? Remember Snitsky, that guy?
Really?
You know, big monster. What a monster. Exactly. Actually, I owe him one because he body slammed him one time and it hurt. I'll tell you. Gene, and I said to Tommy one time, I said, when Gene like body slams you, I said, what is it like? He's like, just brace yourself. I said, okay, great. Sounds good. And then actually we did a match with Gene. Actually, when he got signed to WWE, he came back to work a show at WXW. And Gene, the thing was is that Coleman and Flight were running from the Samoans, right? So I sat there, and of course, Mike Flight was always elusive. I never got hit. All of a sudden, Gene comes back from the curtain and pops me with a chair, and I'm like, wow. So I said to Tommy, do I put my hand up? And Tommy goes, yeah, I'd put my hand up if I were you. He goes, right down. He goes, all right. So backstage, yeah, just it was great. But yeah, Snitsky probably.
I have a quick Snitsky story from training at Offa's. He was, I don't know if you remember, he used to have nipple rings.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And so we're in the show ring. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the two rings set up. We're in the show ring there. And we're doing all kinds of just different, you know, drop down, whatever it is. So they put me in there with him, and they wanted to just do a thing where I'm just going to keep throwing clotheslines. And obviously he's not bumping. I'm just throwing clotheslines. I'll hit the ropes again, try another one. Oh, you know, like doing that. And I go and I hit him with a clothesline, and I go to bounce off of him, and he just bear hugs me and goes, no, 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 and holds on. My elbow
that
pad.
That sounds like him too.
My elbow pad had attached to his nipple ring.
Oh!
And so he's holding me, and he's like holding me, and I'm like, you know, at this point, I don't know what's happened. So I like went to clothesline him. He's holding me. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, did I hit him or something? Wow. He's about to kill me. And he's just like, oh, he's like, hold on, hold on. He just like unhooks it. He's like, okay, we're good. We're good. And I was, yeah, so that was,
oh my God.
That was, and then I saw him back when he was working for WWE, and I was down in OVW, and okay. A bunch of us went out down to 4th Street in Kentucky.
Okay.
And I saw him there. It was the first time I'd seen him in years, and he wouldn't have remembered me or whatever. Right. And I told him that story. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I remember that. Okay. But he said it in a way that almost made me feel like I wasn't the only time that happened, which is kind of like, maybe you shouldn't have worn those. But no, he was, I always liked him.
Yeah, Gene is, we still keep in touch. Gene is an interesting person, I'll tell you. He had that foot fetish, too. You remember that, right?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
He had the foot fetish.
And he's got a heck of a beard.
Yeah,
he does. Last time I saw him.
Yes,
yes, he does. Yeah. Yes. So awesome. I bet he was like, no hugs, Josh, this time. And he's a tall guy.
He's a very big guy.
So he is holding you up in the air?
No, he was kind of, well, because I was like running into him and just kind of like hitting up like this. Okay. And I guess, I don't know if I was doing like a jump up clip or whatever it was, but I had my arm all the way up. So my elbow pad just kind of just caught him. So he just kind of just grabbed, he wasn't holding me up in the air. He just kind of grabbed me, like just so whatever position I was in, I just wasn't moving. And I just kept my arm up and he just kind of unhooked it or whatever.
So it was 5 seconds, but felt like 10 minutes probably.
Yeah, I didn't even see it connect. He just told me afterwards, like, oh yeah, I was hooked onto the thing. Like, so.
Jeez.
Yeah. Did you say it was a very touching moment? Or
it was great. Right? Yeah, it was really good. I think that was a bonding moment for us, for sure.
It was real to you, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, it's about to be really real for him.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine, like, what do you, like...
No, I don't want to imagine.
No. No, if it damaged, of course.
Yeah, right.
Seriously. So, as a fan, like, who do you enjoy watching?
Remember Axe and Smash Demolition?
Yes.
Great guys.
Like, yeah. I mean, that music. Man. Here comes the Axe. Here comes the Smasher.
Oh, my God. Yep. You know, I met Barry backstage at an ECPW show years ago, and I told him, I was like, man, I said, just awesome. You know, quick story also. I did a dark match, and I met Hulk Hogan. I'll never forget it. We were in the locker room. I believe it was up in Jersey. It was up in North Jersey. And that's my age is showing. But what happened was I go, Jeff, I said, there's Hulk Hogan. He goes, oh, that's awesome. He goes, go say hello, Flighty. I go, all right. So I go, hey, Hulk. I said, Mike Flight, I just want to let you know, when I was younger, brother, you were still the man. He goes, shakes my hand. He goes, I still am the man, brother. I said, okay, Hulk, you got it. You know? So, yeah, just amazing. But I would say, yeah, probably Hulk Hogan, you know, just, you know, the guys who are growing up with the Jimmy Superfly Snuka, the Big Boss Man, we all remember him. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that the Action Smash, by far.
Nice.
Great gimmick.
Nice. Now, were you more WWF or WWE or WCW?
It was ECW. Okay. Yeah, it was more like that. It was what I watched me?
Yeah.
Yeah, WWF.
So were you one of the ones that was going back and forth during
the
90s?
Monday Night Wars. Remember the Monday Night Wars?
Yeah, man.
My brother remembers them.
Yep.
Yeah, DDP was there, right?
Yeah. And they had a pay-per-view called World Wild, and they had 3 years, but it wasn't good in Spark Area, South Dakota.
Yeah. See, that was smart of them, though, because they had all those motorcycles come out, and, like, they packed that house. And, like, those fans, like, maybe they didn't really know what was going on, but they were really getting into it.
It was a great visual.
Yeah. It was a great visual, yeah.
It was.
Yep, and then I remember I was telling Matt, there's actually a Kiss Army sign in this, because, you know, motorcycles, they... Yeah, did they?
Oh, really? Sturgis? Really? Yeah, Sturgis. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
That's awesome. Now, Mike, what are your thoughts on the business today?
I think the business, I don't know, it needs a little influx of new talent, I think. I mean, I think the story, you know, I've always been an old fan of storylines. I like the storylines, like the backstage vignettes. I like the fact that, you know, that people can be themselves, but turn the volume up a little bit. I think it's too PG today. I think, you know, you need to cross that line. You know, it's about putting people in the seats. Like JR always said, if there's a, you know, there's a person in every seat, then we did our job. But there's so many empty seats anymore. Why? It's so much fun. And to go to a live show, I mean, really.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Do you think it's the talent or do you think it's the writing and the production and the presentation?
I think it's the writing, I think. You know, some of these storylines, you know, like Jeff Coleman and I, we still talk. And we were talking last week, you know, and last week you had Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley under the same roof. Do something with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, two big monsters, do something with that. You got them both in the same. Because Brock, you know, he comes by every once in a while, I guess, and that's his contract stipulation. But you have do a stare down, you know? And then you have Heyman, like, backing Lesnar up. Whoa, you know, we don't want this guy right now. Yeah. You know? Again.
Tease us, you know?
Yeah, give us the tease because, I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying, you know, that's there's been rumor of that it was going to be Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
I heard that.
But to me, I look at a Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, and amazing. I'd rather see that.
So
because now you're like, okay, because you also think about how much actual amateur wrestling and mixed martial arts they could work into a match, creating a completely different style of match.
Their MMA background.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it could be really, there's a real story to tell there, and I don't know.
Well, you know, it's funny, we were talking, we'd say, like, you know, you see Lesnar and Heyman backstage, and you see that Leo Rush.
Leo Rush.
And he said, and you see, like, last week, he says, look, there's a little Paul Heyman.
That's what I'm saying, like, two great mouthpieces there.
Exactly.
And I think
the annoying Leo Rush.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. Let me tell you about that. He made distraction and opponents on the microphone, and they said to him, do not do that to the microphone while you're doing this, like Jimmy Hart, the Hall of Famer himself.
Mm-hmm.
He used his megaphone to do it for managing his own wrestlers back then.
He's doing his job. He's distracting. So exactly. That's what makes it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't do that like Jimmy Hart. Yeah. That's bad. Very
not
bad.
The South. That's right.
But that's the thing, like you said, like tease it a little bit. Like, you know, back in the day when we had like Andre rip off Hogan's chain, you know, great it felt stuff. Real watching great it at home. Stuff. Like, you know, Hogan sold it like why? Like why? We were, you know, or like yes. The Mega Powers.
Yes,
explain. Macho right. It was on Saturday night, I think, when Macho turned right. On Hogan in the not an emergency room, but backstage room, you know, he's laying down.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff like that, like you know,
tease us. You know, I mean, why do I want to watch next week for? Because this is what's going on. I want to see, you know, what's the cause and effect? I mean, what happens? Because again, you had both guys under the same roof last week. Use them. You know, they're there. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be. No one has to touch anybody. You do the stare down. Lesnar kind of jokingly, like, get out of my way, and you know, Lashley's not moving. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that, I think the storyline needs to be a little bit more in flux.
Because they have enough talent. They have enough talent.
They have wonderful talent. Exactly.
Like I said, it's doing the same exact thing over and over again. Try something new. Give exactly. The fans what they want.
Not to totally take you off of the format and everything, but what do you think about with All Elite Wrestling? Do you think you think that's going to change the business? Maybe change WWE in the way that WWE was changed when WCW really picked it up?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm excited about is this new Elite Pro Wrestling coming out now.
Yeah,
I think that's going to give them a run for their money. You've got Tony Khan, who is a billionaire.
Which reminds me of Ted Turner.
Yes. Which
except the difference is Tony Khan is like a encyclopedia of pro wrestling.
Yes.
And that's a big difference. Yes. You know, Ted Turner always liked it. He was always a fan of it and enjoyed the product, but... Yes. Yeah, you have a guy who is incredibly passionate about professional wrestling. Yes. And I think that's just, that's a game changer right there.
And just a second, what you're saying, you know, yeah, I mean, it's good to have competition. It's healthy because I think Ring of Honor provides, you know, that outlet as well. But I mean, that's pay-per-view, I think, right? Ring of Honor. Yeah. I'm not going to get that. I mean, as a fan, you know, you got to spend another $30 to get a pay-per-view.
Oh, I'd have to highly recommend that you buy on Fight TV.
Okay. He's plugging Ring of Honor over here.
Just any
Fight
programming,
TV is awesome,
any
guys,
programming right? On Fight TV. Yeah. We're just,
it's amazing.
I gotta check it out.
Love that place.
That's awesome.
It's like a home.
No, but that's the thing. Like, you know, Cody Rhodes is running it. He's a mastermind because his dad, Dusty Rhodes, just think of the knowledge that he has and what he's learned backstage growing up in the business.
Amazing mind.
Young Bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Bucks. And Chris Jericho signed that 3-year deal, you know, and it just goes to show how much they believe in this company.
Well, you know, not only that too, but it's like you're bringing back talent again. Like, I think Kip James is now
the producer.
Producer now, you know, it's funny, you know, the writers should have, I believe, some sort of wrestling knowledge, and I agree with what you're saying. You know, Tony Khan is passionate about the business, right? Vince McMahon is obviously passionate about it, but, you know, he lost the passion, I think. When he turned it over to Stephanie and Triple H, the storylines, I think we all, you know, I think Triple H is a great performer. I think he's done great things, you know, but it's like you get tired of seeing the same thing. I mean, you know, about playing the game all the time, all right? That's wonderful, but we want to see new talent, like John Cena. The other night, it was on last week, I didn't recognize him. I'm like, who is that? I'm like, that's John Cena with the long hair?
And
he lost all that weight.
Yeah, lost a lot of weight. Yeah.
And he really needs to cut that hair. Yeah. And he had new hair, yeah. And when I was watching the replay, they lived in Australia, he was doing that for the movie. Yes. That's what he did.
Yes.
And also, the thing is that Mike talked about the demolition moments ago, and the funny thing what happened was the Royal Rumble moment. I liked in the second annual Royal Rumble in 1989, they fought against each other in a Royal Rumble match.
Number one, number two.
Yeah,
I remember that as a kid. That was like, and that's something that I always wonder to kids nowadays. Look at, you know, because sometimes we'll just be like, we look at the Royal Rumble and we see a 30 people where, okay, maybe three of them have a chance of winning, and right. The rest, guy comes out, like I mentioned Ty Dillinger earlier, yeah. He comes out and you're just like, yeah, no, that's, I mean, he's obviously not winning. But I remember times like Axe and Smash, like when they first came out, I don't remember which one came out first and who came second, but when the second guy came, that music hit again. Yes. I remember as a kid, I was just like,
"What's going on?
Everything in the world has just changed." Like, and there's nothing like. Think of any tag team now. If that happened with any tag, like even if it was like New Day, right?
Yeah.
You'd just be like, okay, New Day, okay, yeah. Oh, Kofi's out, oh, yeah. Here's Xavier Woods. Yeah. All right, I guess they'll just kind of wrestle a little bit now. Yeah, like, sure. It wouldn't, or the bar, you'd be like, okay, you know, shame, maybe they'll just wrestle. Oh, yeah. Cool, look, they're throwing punches.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a...
intense. That yeah. was intense. Seriously, it
was. What I always wonder is, it just has wrestling changed, or did we just grow up? So we're not going to be able to see wrestling the way today. Maybe kids are seeing it exactly the same way and don't understand everything we're talking about. But
right.
That's right. True. Now, Art, was that your favorite Royal Rumble moment?
Yeah, I got a couple of them.
Yeah, okay.
My favorite Royal Rumble moment, 2013 Royal Rumble. I like when the Godfather comes back to the WWE, the Hall of Famer himself.
I think all the fans
and like, he yeah. wins out the hot chicks in the stage. And what happened was, he was into the match, and then Dolph Ziggler put the boot right in the face over the top rope, and then his both feet land on the floor for 4 seconds, and he says, oh, well, looks like I'm heading back to the backstage.
Yep. At least I got the ladies with me.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, like, you know, was it Bushwhacker Luke? He walked across yeah. the ring. Yeah.
And it just keeps going with the wall.
I think the best was Drew Carey. Remember Drew Carey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He saw Kane and was like, see you later.
Yeah. Like, the host out. Of yeah. A Price is Right, Drew Carey.
Yes. Yep.
And the funny thing about...
Pat Spader neutered. Yep.
That's right.
The funny thing about Drew Carey is that... he got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame back in 2011, and because he's from Cleveland, just like the Miz.
Yeah, that's correct.
And because the funny thing is that Drew Carey used to act in TV shows back then, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now he's hosting a show called Price is Right.
Yeah, man. We love that. Watch it every day, right?
Don't miss an episode.
No, you can't, man. The wheel. So, Mike, what was one of your favorite moments of the Royal Rumble?
The Royal Rumble, I guess, I'm trying to think, wow, I guess when China came, remember China?
She came in.
Oh, really?
You know, she hit Mark Henry, I think it was Mark Henry, mm-hmm. People were like, wow, you know? And I think she eliminated a couple people, didn't she? I think she, like, three people she eliminated.
Yeah.
I don't know that people realize what, like, a moment that was.
Yes.
Like, and what China was, unfortunately, how, you know, her life and career and everything ended up, but... at that time, I mean, she was on fire.
Yes, she was.
She was like, yeah. You know, she was one of the biggest stars. And, you know, maybe she'll end up in the Hall of Fame at some point one day.
So.
And,
one can only hope. Yeah,
it's a little, you know, it's too late for her, unfortunately, you know, because I know that would have meant a lot to her. But, you know, for her family and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, this whole celebrity wing, I'm like 50-50 about. Like, you got people who, like... bled sweat and tears, you know, for us fans, and then they got like a Drew Carey coming in, or like, you know, I agree with the whole warrior strong. Right. I think that's amazing, you know, sure. All these warriors coming in and having that wing for the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a different thing.
That's a different thing, but that's even
its own trophy. That that's a separate thing. Yeah. I mean, it's not at all what the Ultimate Warrior wanted, but right. You know, when he brought that up, have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
How his speech, when he talked about the award that they, you know, they used little clips of his speech.
Yeah.
He was not talking about something like this. And I think it's fantastic what they do.
Of course.
But he was talking about having a separate thing for cameramen and producers and even referees and people like that who allowed the show to be what it was.
Right.
Not just the wrestlers. He was saying there should be an award for people like that. And they kind of took his soundbite and manipulated it to turn it into this Warrior Award, which, I mean, look, you could manipulate for a lot worse than what they've done, you know. Yeah. But yeah, but it was not, you know, to me, the fact that there's not a single referee in the Hall of Fame is insane to me. Because, I mean, and you know this, what a good referee is a game changer for a match.
Without a doubt.
Like, it's, and I understand there's... with Earl Hebner, the relationship soured in the way that it did. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are so many guys who've just been there for... What about, like, a Tim White,
yeah.
You know, whose career ended in the Hell in a Cell match, you know? I mean, like, that's a guy who literally had a career-ending injury, and he was a referee. Joey Morella, who passed away many, many years ago, Gorilla Monsoon's son, is a guy, you know, he could have been honored into the Hall of Fame. Like, it's so, you know, it's...
Dick Worley.
Yeah.
Dick World, wow, yeah. There you go.
Gary Gepetta!
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, Mike Chioda is a good friend of Mike Chioda.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike very Chioda. Good friend of mine. Yeah, Mike's from South Jersey.
Yeah, but he's got to retire. I feel like for him to put him in. I don't think he's ever. The guy's ageless, so I don't think he's ever gonna.
It's funny because I see Mike. I never knew Mike smoked until I saw him at their show one night. I'm like, you smoke? He's like, my lung feels great.
How did you not know he smoked? Have you talked to him one time? Yeah, I feel like, you know,
I never knew smokes. That. And that's all smoking. I'm like, it changes your perception of it. You know?
So. Now, Josh, do you have a favorite Royal Rumble memory or?
Oh man. There are a lot of them. There were some really cool moments in the Royal Rumble. Looking at like finishes, there was the Bret Hart, Lex Luger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Going over, you know, as a huge Bret Hart fan, I was losing my mind. Like, what's happening here? But anytime, another one would be Shawn Michaels with only the 1 foot touching and then mm-hmm. pushing out the British Bulldog.
Greatest rivalry all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, these were just, you know, but then again, I'm kind of like another one with Shawn Michaels. I want to say it was the Royal Rumble kicked off his feud with Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. I believe he eliminated Jericho and then Jericho eliminated him. I might be a little wrong with that, but that was when Michaels had first come back. And I just, you know, those are certain memories like that. But I mean, there are a thousand more that I'm sure I could think of, but just off the top of my head.
So many.
Great ones. Yeah.
I just love the returns. The returns are the best. Oh, like God, Diesel returning or like, you know, Karma coming down and, and, you know, no one was expecting that.
There's no, like the Diesel one was, oh man, that was
Kofi cool. Kingston's face was priceless.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, in the ring.
That was just a really, really cool moment. And then they tried to do it again the next year as Kevin Nash. Yes. And it was like, this doesn't.
Yeah.
Work. Yeah, that's
like,
not
this
working.
Isn't it at all. No.
The horn honk. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was great.
Him coming out, slowly putting the glove on. Yes. Like, that was, that was great. Definitely a moment.
Yep. No, do you feel like it should go back to 30 men instead of 80 men in the battle in the Royal Rumble?
No, it's just, it's 30 now.
Is they it only, back to 30 again? Okay,
well,
good.
Well, they had the 1 year where Alberto Del Rio won was the 50 man.
Okay.
And then how many were in like the greatest, most spectacular Royal Rumble of all time in Saudi Arabia?
That's true.
The greatest, amazing, Josh, incredible Royal Rumble.
You meant 40 men, not 50. 40 men.
40.
My sincerest apologies.
That's all right. That's all right. That's what the bullets here for the knowledge. That's now
take me to the woodshed. But 40 men. But I don't know how many were in the greatest Royal Rumble. They're down to 30, and now you've got the women's Royal Rumble, which I think is very cool. I'm like curious to see this year
turning quarters.
Yeah, do you guys have any opinions? Because last year was a very cool, like, okay, let's bring back all these you know, legends. What do you think? This year, do you think there's going to be, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some surprises, and they definitely had some people, but do you think it's going to be if like Lita or Trish come out again, that's going to be like, okay, here's Lita and Trish again.
We
like,
saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like who else did they put out?
I actually worked with Melissa Coates a while back. Okay. She made a brief stomp in WWE. But, you know, as I said, I mean, the ladies were, they performed very hard. Melissa was in excellent shape. I mean, bodybuilder, amazing person, great person to hang out with. But I think that the women obviously have turned corners here and turned pages in WWE history and actually women's wrestling. And I think it's funny because I always say they should have a separate show. You know, have like a diva show. You have a divas, you know, night, whatever, a program on the network or something to that effect, because give them that shine that they need. Because when you integrate them with the, you know, Monday Night Raw, I mean, again, do I think a main event should be the women's match? I guess. I mean, but I mean, I'm old school. I was brought up that the main event is usually that's your take-home match. Take home the night. But yeah, I think, as I said, I think women definitely have turned corners in the business.
Do you think there's going to be... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, do you think there's going to be a women's match main eventing WrestleMania this year?
Do I think? With Ronda Rousey, it's quite possible. Yeah. I mean, she has that element. She has that element.
Definitely. And, like, we can't forget about, like, the Heidi Lee Morgans or, like, Mike McGurk.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
Mike McGurk. Yeah. Ring announced. Like, no one talks about her too much anymore. And, like, and what she's done for the business and her dad and all that we've talked about a lot. Like, things like that. Like, there needs to be a show on the network since they have so many shows now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know,
there needs to be a Mike McGurk action figure.
Yeah.
Because she had a very distinct outfit all the time. Like, she was, you know, and, like... She needs to be immortalized in that way.
And it's funny because you hear, like, when I listen back and watch them, you hear Bobby the Brain Heat and they, like, make jokes about her, you know, about the name and, you know, and stuff like that. And that's why, like, Heidi Lee Morgan, all those guys, like, all those gals, like, they need to be represented and,
absolutely.
You know, respect it, you know?
Sure,
and
absolutely.
I think that'd be great for the network.
I agree. Yeah.
And totally same thing what you said with the referees of the Warrior Thought Something Else. Do a WWE 24/7 show about this referees and, like, the people backstage.
But I mean, with the Hall of Fame, like, just. Throw one referee in this year. Like, it doesn't have, you don't have to do it every year, but just throw one in just so it's just kind of like, oh, hey, that's open now. Mm-hmm. That's an opportunity. But
you know, also, I think when you talk about kayfabe, you know, you want to keep your gimmick going. You know, unfortunately, there's a movie called Beyond the Mat, came out many years ago, yes, by Barry Blastine, about Blastine. And, you know, it kind of, yeah, I was a little upset about that because you now uncovered the business now. You know, you saw them on a personal level as a part of, you know, what you see on television. And I think that the network program, there's this program called Ride Along.
Yeah.
You see them now, you know, like, do I want to see Braun Strowman as a good guy? No, not really, because he's a monster.
Right.
And do I want to see, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro interject and talk about sandwiches? Not really. I mean, because, like, again, you take away, now you take away that element of fear in these people. So I think definitely the network is a great thing to have, but you now expose the business.
I think that's such a good point, because I've always felt like, you know, a lot of people go, oh, well, kayfabe's dead anyway, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But it's like, well, then why are we even doing this? Like, we're still trying to suspend disbelief.
Right.
So there has to be, yeah, I don't like, especially guys like a Braun Strowman or something,
right,
like,
right,
because you wouldn't say, and now it's like the Undertaker just joined Twitter and you're like,
I know,
it's, you're a, like, rum, dude,
like, come on. And that's kind of the thing, is like you want to just
allure, right,
you want to believe that, and yes, and yes, Undertaker, yeah, was really prior to Twitter, but because, like, I don't want to think of the Undertaker sitting there tweeting, like, no, it's like, it's just, I don't want to visualize, yeah, that, and so, yeah, I think a guy like Braun Strowman,
a ham and cheese sandwich, right. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to know. I don't
Hashtag know. RIP. Yeah. Like, you're like, what, yeah, you, you know?
Gas is 239. RIP the, right, sandwich.
So, Mike, let's talk about your second passion, sure, racing, man. What inspired you to pursue that?
When I was younger, I was a very big racing fan, IndyCar fan, actually, and watched the Indianapolis 500 many times when I was a kid. I used to tape it, and, you know, I went to a few races back. Remember the IndyCar days with Danny Sullivan, Rick Mears, Al Unser Jr. And, yeah, got to meet him with Mario Andretti. I'm from up the street here in Natchez, PA. So I pursued it in college. I was a member of the SCCA. I was actually in college down in Florida. So I got my SCCA license and did some road rallying and stuff like that. Then as I got older, I got my national competition license to race. Then I went to the ARCA Racing. My first race was the ARCA Racing Series. That was in 2010, I believe. And it was at Mansfield Speedway. And, again, racing against guys like Frank Kimmel, Justin Allgaier was in the race, stuff like that. So that's how it started. So
the Xfinity Series driver, Justin Allgaier, because he had a great run since last season, mm-hmm, and he won his first Indy win last September, I think it was, mm-hmm, and Team Penske won then Brickyard 400 last September. That was their first win.
Yes.
Now, you've been in the business for a long time. What were some personal highlights for you?
Making my first NASCAR truck start a couple years ago. I was with, I still am with Cop Motorsports, DJ Cop. And it's funny, a little side note, DJ was worked on Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s crew, a pit crew, for a while. So, but yeah, DJ Cop operates a team. We talked. Yeah, a couple years ago, I made my debut at Iowa Speedway in the truck series. Well, it was great. Just a wonderful spectacle, and just you know, proud to be there. You know, when you're at the two of that level, and you're racing against guys like Crafton and Sauter, and, you know, Norm Betting, actually, just, you think, wow, it's amazing. Jennifer Jo Cobb, you know, some of the bigger names in the field. Yeah, it's just a wonderful opportunity.
Now, talk about your first race, man. The adrenaline and and how fast do you go?
Well, that was at Mansfield. That was a short track, Mansfield, Ohio. It's no longer. I think they tore it down, but. That was in, I guess it was summer 2010. I got into my first ARCA race. And just great. You know, I mean, of course, the learning curve was so, so vast, because I come up from, you know, sports car racing, open wheel racing, and then all of a sudden, you know, boom, you're in a 3,500-pound stock car now. So there was a big, Frank Kimmel was very nice that day. Chad McCombe was also very helpful with giving me some information. A good friend of mine, Rob Jones, he helped me out as well. So you kind of get the gist of it. I was driving for Peterson Racing at the time. That's why I made my debut. So the first race was great. And then you start getting a comfort zone with this. You start moving in other races and other venues. So. Okay.
That was the fastest you went?
At Daytona. I raced 2 years ago in Daytona. It was 186 miles an hour. Wow. So, yeah. Daytona's amazing. We were at the driver's meeting, and Bobby Gerhart was saying in the driver's meeting, he's like, you know, we actually tested first before we went on the track. And Bobby says, you know, he goes, for you rookies, he says, he's like, when we come up on, he's like, you better watch your mirrors. And I'm like, what's he talking about? He goes, because in the corners, you don't see anything. I'm like, what do you mean you don't see anything? So, of course, I get out there, and, you know, you just hope the car sticks. You throw it in turn one, and I'm like, wow. Now, the Daytona banks are, like, it's like 33 degrees, I think. So you're kind of, you know, thrusting in. You feel the G-force is pushing you back in the seat. And all of a sudden, I mean, he's right. All you see is black. You don't see nothing. All you see is just this black top. It's amazing. Then when your car comes out of the turn, all right, you let the car will level out. You can actually feel the car leveling out. It's amazing. Wow. Yeah. It's crazy.
Now, talk about the importance of having a good team.
It's very important. You know, you have to have that. That's what wins races. You know, the chemistry and, you know, the driver and the crew chief. That's very important. And again, you know, it's not, unfortunately, our team, we don't have the millions of dollars of budget. We can't compete with the Penske's and the Childress's. But I mean, what we have, we actually make work, so which is a good thing.
And now, as far as sponsors go, what's the most important thing as far as you know, representing you and your brand? You know, you want someone that you believe in. Mm-hmm. Talk about that process.
You know, I had Bell Plantation on board for 7 years, the powdered peanut butter, PB2, and it was a wonderful relationship. You know, you got to give them an ROI. You got to give them a return on their investment, because you have to show them, look, that you're out there, you're an employee of the company as well. We just signed a new sponsor called Speed Clothing, the speed.co. And the guys are just, they're passionate about racing. They want to be involved. You have to show them a return on your investment. It's very important. If you don't deliver, that's what happens. I think now it's a couple people are out of rides this year now because, you know, they're not delivering for the sponsors. You got to deliver for that.
Definitely. Okay, tell us a little about Motorsport Concepts.
That's a sports marketing business that I operate. We educate corporate America about the tangibles of sponsoring a race car or a truck, if you will. We you know, we do corporate consulting. We allow them to – we take the Joyce and Julius reports from the television, and we show them, you know, what the value was, the extended value on the television coverage.
Okay. Now, what are your goals for 2019?
I would say to just keep racing in the truck series, make an Xfinity start this year, NASCAR Xfinity start, just kind of work together with our current sponsors, give them the best brand representation possible, and just be successful in that.
Now, what's been your worst injury?
Let me see. In racing or wrestling?
Both. Yeah.
I have a bad shoulder, so that's from the wrestling. But I actually backed in. I was in Indianapolis a couple of years ago, and I backed the ARCA car in the wall. And it was like my back, my lower back. I was like, wow, it's amazing. You know, I guess years of being slammed on my back probably attributed to that. But, yeah, I backed the car in the wall, and they said I was going like 146. Jeez. When I backed in the wall. Yeah, that hurt. You know, so I mean, but you know, when the rescue crew comes up to you, you gotta say, all right, just give me a second again. I gather my thoughts. There are all my extremities. I have these are working. Okay, I'm good. I can come out now. So
that's awesome. Now Art's a huge NASCAR fan.
Awesome.
He watches it like on three TVs. He's like all about it. He wants to get every angle.
What's your electric bill?
You know, the inaugural Brickyard 400. Mm. And what happened was Jimmy Spencer had an injury and he got hurt his shoulder blade. Yep. In the wall, and because he's resting, but the road racing legend Tommy Kendall took his place at Watkins Glen International for road racing on the track.
Now, if people, Mike, great job, Art. Now, if people want to follow you, Mike, for social media, buy merch, and see where you're going to be racing, where can they go?
I have a website. It's Mike Seneca, SENICA.com, and I'm on Twitter at M Seneca Racing. MSENICARACING. And then I'm on Instagram at Flightman. That's my wrestling name. FLYTEMAN.
Awesome. Now, do you have a favorite track?
I like Daytona. I like Daytona just when you get out there and, you know, being thrown around that car. Again, 2 years ago we raced there, and I would have finished 17th, but there was a bad accident. They had to cut one of the drivers out of the car. Mm. So I was in 23rd, and I'm like, and my car owner goes, after the race, he gave me a hug. He's like, you know, he goes, you almost got a top 20. He goes, if the race would have continued, he goes, because of all the damaged cars, because you'd have moved up, he said. I'm like, all right. But I think Daytona by far is amazing.
That's awesome. So, speaking of merch, Josh, you got merch now, right, man?
Yeah. Oh, man, I do. I'm wearing one of them right here. This is my...
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. You got to get that picture now so people can check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, my merchandise, you can go to sosayschernoff.com. It's S-H-E-R-N-O-F-F. And there's some site exclusive ones on there. And then also prowrestlingtees.com/Josh Chernoff. I have a page on there. And that has my sarcasm as my superpower t-shirt. But on the website, we've got like mugs and hoodies with that on there. The sarcasm, awesome. My superpower. People seem to like that because it doesn't have my name on it.
How's Bill liking it so far?
Bill is
coming along.
I think he thinks it's cool. And then immediately tries to push the After Chat merchandise, which you can find at theafterchat.com. Had that merchandise there. And then can I plug the show going on next door?
I'll do that.
We've already got a huge... this is going to be a first come, first serve. It's free admission. January 23rd, 6:30 would be the time to get here. We're going to be here in this building at Montgomery County Community College. What is this building called? It's the
Advanced Technology Center.
We're going to be filming another edition of So Says Chernoff, but this is the first one that's for Fight TV, because the show was picked up by Fight TV, which I'm very excited about. Yeah. And you heard my my shameless sucking up to Fight TV earlier. And I look forward to doing that as much as I possibly can. We also have a sponsor who I won't even mention on this show because they're more adult oriented.
Nice.
But they're the color blue.
My favorite color.
And what you do with bubble gum. It's coming together really well, but we're going to be filming the show. We do want a live studio audience. We want people who love wrestling and who like to laugh at wrestling, because that's kind of what we're going to do.
Nice.
Going to be a little bit of headlines in the beginning, and then we're going to move on to a preview for the Royal Rumble. So it should be pretty cool. Looking forward to it. And thanks to Matt over here for really setting this entire thing up to do this.
Matt's a legend. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Yeah. He's a legend. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's
awesome.
That's my stuff.
Well, Josh, appreciate you coming back, man. And Mike, you're more than welcome anytime you want to come up and get damaged, man. We're always here every Monday, man.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Yep. So from me, myself, Matt, and the Bullet, guys, you've just been completely damaged on MonkaRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Completely damaged!